Senators Kelly, Rody, Eliason, and Sturgiluski are on hand. We have before us a professional services contract between the leadership of the Alaska Senate and the Senate Rules Committee and the Josephson Institute for the Advancement of Ethics. I'd like to call Tam Cook, if I could, head of Legislative Legal Services, and ask a question, Tam. We had, as you I'm sure have heard, a majority caucus where we discussed this issue, and there was a good deal of discussion and an indication on your response from Senator Kelly, but it had to do with whether or not this was an appropriate contract for the Senate to enter into. I would like your comment on that as to whether this is appropriate that we contract with Mr. Josephson for certain professional services.
It's certainly appropriate if the Senate, in, you know, as far as its own policy discretion goes, elects to spend the money for this rather than some other purpose, always a tough consideration. But as far as the procurement procedures go, the contract complies with the requirements of the procurement procedures, presuming, of course, that the committee, in fact, approves the contract, which is required under the procurement.
Now, as I understand it, we would need three motions. One would be to authorize entering into the contract. Secondly, to approve a sole source justification for or entering into a sole source contract. And then a delegation to me, in this case, to sign the contract.
Madam Chair, that is typically done by the committees. They do typically delegate the signature requirement just because the committee members don't want to to make themselves available to sign the papers after they're prepared. But as for the third requirement, of course, we could forego that. That's up to the committee. But I know that that is typically done with most committee actions. They go ahead and delegate the signature aspect so that the individual members don't have to be hunted down.
Okay. All right, fine. Are there questions by any of the committee members of Ms. Cook? Senator Lyons.
I'm just curious in regards to this. Source now, you said all we have to do to all comply with this procedure, just vote on a majority by the committee to a sole source contract?
Right. Under the procurement procedures, which have been adopted by legislative council, there is an approval requirement for the letting of and the expenditure of committee funds. If the Rules Committee is going to be the entity that lets this contract, the Rules Committee members must approve the expenditure of that money.
Is there any limitations upon that? The amount of money or is that procedure? Could we, as a committee, authorize a $500,000 contract to go out and fill a new committee room?
If you had the money, I mean, there obviously you're subject to the limitation of what's in your budget, what your committee funds are that you have available. And, of course, the contract requires that on the face that the amount of the contract be indicated, and then it has to be certified that there's money available to pay the contract. My understanding is that the Rules Committee does have the money in its budget to cover this particular contract.
So we're not required to advertise, number one.
Not if you
number
use
two,
a source.
We're not required to consider any other options, I mean, as far as contractors might go.
As long as the committee is comfortable with the sole source justification. Otherwise, yes, you do have to go through a solicitation process because this contract is over, I believe it's $25,000 in professional services contract. Could be let without any solicitation requirement if it was under the $25,000 limit. As it is, there is a requirement that without going through a solicitation procedure, some sort of a competitive process, the committee must satisfy itself that they have a situation that can be addressed because of the experience of the particular contractor better by that person, that there isn't, essentially as a practical matter, there isn't a market in that type of service that's readily available to the committee. And if the committee does choose to use sole source for an amount of over $25,000 to justify avoiding competitive procedures, then the committee must also approve the fact that they're willing to go with the sole source rather than... So that essentially that's what triggers the two approvals.
But how do we know as a committee there are not other contracts available to us? I mean, we don't know. I don't know that.
I don't either. My understanding is, I mean, as far as the sole source justification goes, my understanding is that this particular individual is very knowledgeable in this area. And the sole source justification has been drafted to reflect that fact. But certainly the committee would need to make an independent determination as to whether or not they're comfortable using sole source.
Fine. Further questions of Ms. Cook? Fine, thank you, Tam. Senator Coghill has asked to make a statement.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, for allowing me to come before the Rules Committee to discuss a matter that I think that goes beyond what we're trying to accomplish here. Madam Chairman, the law of the state of Alaska establishes an ethics committee, and the law requires that there be three senators, one of them from the minority side of the organization of the Senate, and that three members at large, three citizens of the state of Alaska, be established in that ethics committee, and that the House appoint three members, and that the nine of us sit as an ethics committee. None of this has come before the ethics committee, Madam Chairman. It's come before the partisan coalition group in the Senate. There has been no deliberation as far as the ethics committee is concerned. We have not brought the three individuals that represent the public into the process on it. I understand that there's something broken, and I think that something needs to be fixed, and I think that it's probably integrity more than it is written law. I think that somebody has leaked that material. The President of the Senate indicated that it was not a staff person in his first press release, which puts the onus on the three members that are public and the three of us that are in the Senate. I can verify that I did not have anything to do with it, and I'm sure that my colleagues didn't have anything to do with it. And so if it was a staff person, why spend $70,000 plus to have an expert come up from the lower 48 to do something that nobody can do anything about save the Pope? The problem is that the committee has been charged by law. And what we're doing is we're breaking state law right here. Now, if the Senate and the Senate organization in their caucus structure wishes to have a special investigation of the matter as far as the Adams case is concerned, I think that that's their prerogative. They can do that anytime they want to. But I think that when you come to piercing the ethics law that we have on the books, it's no different than any other law. If you got it, there's a function here. And I notice that in your professional services contract, you have the chairman of the ethics committee signing this contract, which I'm opposed to. But as a minority member of the Senate, I haven't had a chance to discuss this with anybody, haven't had a chance to vote on it. And I would suggest that in order for us to be able to do things properly, Madam Chairman, that the Ethics Committee, subcommittee chairman for the Senate, should at least call the three public members and the other two members of the Senate so that at least we can go through the process to be able to discuss this in a proper manner. And I think that it's untimely, and I think it's a posturing of some sort or other to put this issue, and if the issue is a leak, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think that if you spend $70,000 an outside firm, I think that there are plenty competent attorney firms in this state that would be able to take this issue and to be able to review the ethics law and to be able to come up with some determinations. And there's no reason in the world why the Ethics Committee can't do that when you have three well-meaning public members that serve with the six of us from the legislature. And I know that I'm probably crying in the wilderness, but the thing is that I will protest it, and I'll protest it on the floor if that signature is put on there by the Ethics Committee, because we have not had a due process. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator Coghill. Senator Pershaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hadn't really anticipated testifying, but I did want to, I clearly see the world a little differently from my colleague and friend, Senator Coghill, and since he used my name or my position, I wanted to set the record straight on that. First of all, I don't view what you're what's under consideration for the committee as an attempt to solve the leak problem. I don't view this process and this subject matter as solving the leak problem. That's something else, and really, I don't think is the major thrust of the decision before you. Secondly, I no longer view the subject in this issue as one in the exclusive domain of the Ethics Committee. I think that I still stand by our decision, and I think my colleague Senator Coghill and I and Senator Lyason and the three public members issued the correct decision that we did last year, and frankly, that process has ended. The Ethics Committee's jurisdiction is limited. We have acted on the Adams case, and I think that process is behind us. And what is really in front of you, I think, is where do we go from here? The Ethics Committee did meet in a series of meetings in early January on going over some of what we viewed as a committee were limitations in the current ethics law. We developed and submitted a bill which is pending in the Senate Judiciary Committee. There are a lot of good things in that bill. I stand by most of those personally. However, that bill too may not really address the problems that we find ourselves in. I certainly, as an individual, am open to fundamental changes in our ethics procedures and the way we investigate and enforce ethics statutes and the nature of those ethics statutes itself. So I don't take this as an affront on the Ethics Committee's jurisdiction. We are now into the realm of the jurisdiction of the full Senate Committee. And my name on this document as project director, I don't think is co-opting the role of the Ethics Committee, which is ongoing still, but rather I just view my name on there as a member of the full Senate, as someone who's concerned about the issue, someone who has had some experience in the statute and revisions to the statute, and interested in helping the contractee proceed with his independent work.
Fine. Thank you, Senator Porcello. Senator Rohde.
If I might make just a brief statement in response to what Senator Porcello said, but particularly what was said by my distinguished colleague, Senator Coghill. It's certainly not my intent to usurp any authority of the Ethics Committee, but the only thing we have in government is the confidence of the people that we represent. And on the question of ethics, it is my firm belief that we have forfeited that confidence, and we have a duty to make some very basic changes in the way we conduct our business in that arena, or we will not be able to effectively represent and enjoy the support of the people that we represent, that support being the very bedrock of democracy. I feel that our action is appropriate upon that ground.
And thank you, Senator Rohde. Thank you, Senator Porcello. Senator Kelly?
Let me just make something clear. I don't believe, Madam Chairman, that the Ethics Committee is responsible for what I consider a loss of public faith in the process. I believe that the ethics law, which created the Ethics Committee, is in fact a flawed vehicle. So I believe the Ethics Committee has performed well under the limitations that they've had to perform with under the law, and I think what has to be done, the law has to be changed. And I'm going to support the law.
Senator Lyson?
I think that I don't think that there's anybody in either body who is not willing to make some changes. That's not the question. And the question before this committee is, are we doing it the proper manner? If we're going to establish confidence in the system, we just can't go running off as a Senate itself doing these things. I don't know why we're doing it to get ahead of the House or what type of a competitive situation we're in here. I still think the proper place is for a joint body, a joint committee, which is the other committee we're speaking of this morning, the
Westside Council.
Right, I think that's a proper vehicle. If we're going to establish confidence, we can't do it by running off in left field and reacting. And I noticed this contract calls for completion by May 10th. Obviously, the material that's going to be available is going to be available for the next session. So I guess the second question is, are we trying to get ahead of the House on this issue? Are we trying to look better than the House? Or are we trying to instill more confidence in the Senate? Or are we trying to, in our haste, bringing us additional problems? I think it's a proper way to do it. I don't think it's in this body. I think it's in a joint body.
Is anyone prepared to make a motion so we have the issue before us?
Madam Chairman, I would like to make that motion. Madam Chairman, I would move you that this committee approve the contract with the Josephson Institute
that this, this contract be a sole source contract, and we should reference the sole source justification as part of my motion that is before the members. And thirdly, that you, Madam Chairman, have authority to sign this contract on behalf of each and all members of this committee.
The issue is therefore of discussion. We have something before us. Senator Lassiter, continue, and then Senator Kelly.
I certainly don't disagree with some type of contract. I disagree with the way we're doing it, and people are arbitrarily hiring. But I guess the second question is, we didn't really look into the time frames we're working under now. May 10th, 1990, I didn't know that this report's going to be delayed in that period of time, so obviously, does that mean we're going to put everything in advance until we get that report from this expert? Are we going to go forward to what we're doing now in the committee process? Those are the kind of questions I'd like to...
Well, let's have some discussion. Senator, thank you, Senator Lyson. Senator Kelly?
Madam Chairman, the report will be... Draft legislation and report will be provided to the Senate by April 2nd. The reason that we have the May 10th deadline there is that it's after session, and we feel that after we receive the draft legislation and report, necessary to ask the contractors to identify at committee meetings throughout the entire process in the Senate and the House.
Then,
yes, Senator.
If I could respond to Senator Lyson, I understand his concern, and I believe under the usual method that we do business, it would be appropriate to take a longer time. But if we don't act with all due haste, we won't do anything this year, and I think that would not be acceptable to the public. Furthermore, all of the work that Mr. Josephson does for the Senate, I presume, will be available to our colleagues in the House. We've always worked closely with them on ethics matters, and I doubt that would change.
Further discussion?
Call for the question, Madam Chairman.
Call for the question,
Madam Chairman, I would seek to amend the motion just to the extent that we actually list the $70,000 plus approved expenses as indicated.
Mr. Minister, that was an omission on my part. I should have noted the contract amount, even though I have the proposed contract.
All right, so that's included in your
motion.
Part
of my
motion. Senator Curtula?
I'd like to read the statement of work one more time. It seems to me there might be a presentation of purpose. I ask for a couple of minutes.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Kelly.
Let me just mention that during last session and this session, we've been very reluctant to enter in types of contracts of this nature. I believe this is the first one of this nature we have entered into. In the past, it has been quite commonplace for the legislature to enter into such contracts. In fact, the contract of this nature could have been entered into by simply the presiding officer in a very secretive manner. That has been done in the past. We have changed the rules. That is why we're in public meeting in the Rules Committee. That's why we're being reported. That's why, again, is, I think, imperative that this be done by the Senate Rules Committee. And we have the money simply because we haven't done much of this in the past.
Madam Chairman, I would note that Senator Kelly is to be commended for the manner in which he has handled this. It could have been handled in a far more secretive manner that would have garnered less adverse publicity. The President chose to deal with it upfront and candidly, and I think that's to the benefit of all of us.
Fine, thank you.
How restrictive do you think G is? You say lobbying regulations for the record. Is that an examination of lobbyists' influence vis-a-vis the interests that they represent? Is that going to include that subdivision?
My feeling on the list is that it's broad enough to encompass a host of things that would not all necessarily be present in the final legislation, but to look, I would believe, at the interrelationship between the conflict of interest, public offices, commission, ethics, legislation, those issues that may well go into needed changes or would be considered at least by the legislature. So it really, to me, represents a laundry list of things that could be looked at.
Who developed those?
Senator.
That was developed, Senator, in consultation with the contractor, Michael Josephson, Senator Porchot, and myself. Has been agreed to by the contractor.
Since Senator Porchot is under some pressures as a result of chairing, or at least being vice chair and chairing the subcommittee of ethics, why did he and why did you choose to make him the chairman of this committee? I just want to know.
Senator Kelly?
I have no doubt of his ethical standing. That's the question. That's the other thing.
Senator?
Madam Chairman, I felt that over the years that Senator Porchot has been the leader in the legislature, when in the House and now in the Senate, to the questions of ethics as we're addressing them today. There's no glory in serving on an ethics committee, as all three senators know that are on the thing. It's a lot of work, and you take a lot of heat for it. And over the years, Senator Pourchaud has shown the stamina and the staying power to attend several ethics meetings throughout the United States and here in Alaska. He put the time in. I feel he's the most knowledgeable senator in the Senate to be the project director of this particular effort. He's not on contract because he's the chairman of the Ethics Committee, but rather because I consider him the most qualified senator to lead the Senate through this process, and that's why he is going to be project director.
Senator Rohde.
Madam Chairman, to supplement Senator Kelly's comments, the role of the project director in this contract is relatively small. It is in large part administrative. The vast burden falls upon the person with whom we are contracting, as you might expect.
Right. Is there further discussion?
I would call for the question, Madam Chairman.
Been a call for the question. Was there unanimous consent?
I would ask unanimous consent, Madam Chairman.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Further matters to come before the Rules Committee? Not. Meeting adjourned.